All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are starting today a new series, The Benefits of Salvation. The message today is the introduction, part one. I'm Dr. Mary Craig. This is January 23rd, 2022. And so let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, Lord, that you have provided us with the benefits of salvation. And we thank you that all that Jesus accomplished in our behalf, Lord, is applied to us by the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to apply to us what Jesus Christ has accomplished in his atoning work on our behalf. And we thank you, therefore, for Jesus' life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. And Lord, as we think of his humiliation and all of the things that he endured, Lord, as the infinite God-man, We are humbled by it. And so we come to you and we bow before you with all humility. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus lived, that he died, that he was buried, that he was raised from the dead the third day, and he sits exalted. He sits exalted at the right hand of the Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords and ruler over the kings of this earth. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is coming again. And Lord, we ask now that your Holy Spirit would come and to each one of us, wherever we are, and to whomever is listening to this message, Lord, that you, your Holy Spirit, would come as the Spirit of truth to open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive the truth and Jesus Christ, and that your Holy Spirit would come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we might walk in wisdom and that you might reveal Jesus Christ to us. Lord, that we would truly honor Jesus Christ in the work of salvation, and remember all of his benefits, all of the benefits that are ours totally by grace. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in Psalm 103, we read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." This is a Psalm of David. The whole Psalm identifies various benefits of belonging to the covenant Lord. With the new covenant in Christ Jesus, everything is better. For example, believers have a better covenant. better promises, a better priesthood. Christ is better than angels. His sacrifice of himself for sin does not need to be repeated, but is a once-for-all-time sacrifice on behalf of those for whom he died. To further our understanding of the benefits of salvation in, through, and by Christ, we must lay the foundation. So we'll be delving into the application of the accomplished work of Jesus Christ in his effecting atonement within the post-creation world. In other words, how is a person saved effectually? What is the order of what happens? And who is involved in what? All right. So this is an introduction. If you want to write it down or whatever, it'll be in the printed version of this and online at marycraig.org. And the audio tapes are also on mcmtffr.org. Okay, so Roman numeral 1, two divine acts, A-C-T-S, effectual calling through regeneration. Roman numeral 2, two divine hyphen human activities, repentance unto life and faith in Jesus Christ. Roman numeral 3, three divine acts, justification, definitive sanctification, adoption, and the Holy Spirit's sealing. Number 4, two divine human activities, progressive sanctification, perseverance in holiness. And Roman numeral 5, one divine act, glorification. Okay, so I will be drawing on the work of John Murray from his book, Redemption Accomplished and Applied, and on Dr. Robert L. Raymond's Systematic Theology. God is a God of order. He superabundantly provides for the salvation of people, just as he sustains and comforts both people and animals in his creation in order to satisfy the needs of both. For that, you can look at Psalm 104. The salvation provided by God demonstrates the overflowing abundance of God's goodness, wisdom, grace, and love. We see it in the eternal counsel of God. We see it in the historic accomplishment of redemption by the work of Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all righteousness and who met all necessary and sufficient conditions for someone to be saved. We see it in the application of redemption, in the work of the Holy Spirit. So how does an elect sinner become a partaker of Christ's accomplishments at Calvary? This application of redemption comprises a series of acts and processes, which I just went over. Each is distinct, and not one can be defined in terms of the other. Each has its own distinct meaning, function, and purpose in the overall plan of God's flowing out of his grace. It's a plan of God, and the purpose flows out of his grace. There is an order. Someone must be born again before being sanctified. John Murray says, quote, regeneration is the inception of being made holy, and sanctification is the continuance, unquote. Okay, now I won't be quoting these scriptures right here because we'll be going more in depth in the coming weeks, but just referring to them here in our introduction. From John chapter 3, verses 3, 5, and 6, one must be born from above, or some say born again, But one must be born from above to see the kingdom of God, and one must be born of water and of the Spirit before one can enter the kingdom of God. Regeneration is prior to seeing or entering the kingdom of God. 1 John 3, verse 9. The seed of God must abide in someone prior to his being delivered from the reigning power of sin. The new birth causes the state of freedom and is therefore prior to the state of freedom from the power of sin. 1 John 5, verse 16. The regenerated person does not commit the sin in which is under the sin which is unto death, because he is born of God and God's seed is in him to keep him from it. John 1, verse 12. Faith and adoption. The bestowment of authority to become children of God, that's adoption. We are adopted into the family of God, presupposes the reception of Christ, faith in his name. Faith is prior to adoption. The act of receiving Christ, it's the best way to talk about it is receiving Christ. As a person receives Christ. Okay? The act of receiving Christ is in the aorist tense in Greek. The believing in his name is a present participle continuous, meaning it's ongoing. You believe and you keep on believing. It's a continuous present like that. Faith appropriates Christ at inception, and that same faith is the appointed means whereby a believer continues to appropriate Christ's benefits through to glorification. Authority here refers not to regeneration, but to the grace of adoption, whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the children of God. Because for as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be the children of God. Okay, and you can read it. It's very important. Reading around John 1, verse 12. Read around the verse. Or just read John 1, verses 1, like to 14. Okay. or even to 16. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Sealing with the Holy Spirit follows upon the hearing of the word of truth and believing. God seals the child of God with the indwelling spirit of adoption at the point of God's act of adoption. Romans 8, 28 to 30 speaks about calling, justification, and glorification. This order reflects God's eternal purpose of foreknowledge and predestination. Here is a chain of unbreakable links beginning with foreknowledge and ending with glorification. God's purpose provides the pattern or plan according to which calling takes place. Purpose is prior to the calling, eternally prior. That purpose consists in foreknowledge and predestination. Our order starts with foreknowledge and predestination and ends with glorification. Foreknowledge and predestination are prior to calling, justification and glorification, and eternally prior. Foreknowledge precedes predestination. Foreknowledge focuses attention upon the distinguishing or electing love of God. In other words, foreknowing. And it has to do with the electing love of God. The electing love of God. So, God loved those that he chose from the foundation of the world, from before the foundation of the world, before anything was created. and the sons of God were elected. There is an ultimate source to salvation and also an ultimate goal of salvation. Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. In love, equivalent to foreknowing. In love, having predestined. That's from Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. And we know that calling precedes justification. Foreknowledge and predestination in Romans 8:29 are both prefixed with the preposition for or before. These precede the three verbs that follow. Dr. Raymond says in his systematic theology, quote, they speak of God's purpose prior to the creative acts of Genesis 1, while the last three verbs refer to acts which occur after the creation of the world, in other words, post-creation, evidencing the sequential order of pre-creation, post-creation. Okay. Unquote. And here is what Romans 8, 28 to 30 says. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, that's electing love, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Romans 8, 28 to 30. We love because God first loved us. 1 John 4, verse 19. This is electing love. It is demonstrated by all that Jesus has accomplished to reconcile those chosen before the foundation of the world to God. In other words, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Salvation is of the Lord. Only God saves. There is only one way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Only God saves. It is God who initiates salvation. He conceived of it. He accomplishes it through the work of Christ on the cross. He applies it through the work of the Holy Spirit. Mother Church does not save. Angels do not save. A person cannot save himself or herself. No pastor or person can save. There is no other name by means of which someone might be saved. Only God saves. Only Jesus saves. Only the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the promise of the Father, applies what Jesus has accomplished. Okay, and that's a lot to think about. And so we're going to stop right there. And we will pick up on this introduction again next Sunday, God willing. And so let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the source and sustainer of all life and blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that there is a common grace and mercy that goes out to everyone, that you are good to all in some ways, and you are good to some in all ways. And we thank you, Lord, for this electing love. We certainly do not deserve it, and we cannot earn it. We thank you, Lord God, that you alone save. And we thank you, Lord. We pray for all the benefits of salvation, because everything else flows from what you have provided in Christ. Everything we have, Lord, is in Christ. And we thank you. We thank you that we have been adopted into your family, Lord, a people group from every tribe and kindred and nation and language and just from all over, Lord. We thank you, God, and we praise you. And we know that the people who are truly born out of God, born again, have the Holy Spirit and all, you know, talk about the same things and try to share the gospel with each other. Just to make sure. And we thank you, Lord, that as a family, believers all behave very much alike, no matter what culture they're in or language they speak or where they live in the world or all these other things. Because what's common to us is the Holy Spirit of the one true and living God. And we thank you, God. And so today we pray for all of those whom you have elected with your electing love, Lord. And we pray for them, Lord, that now would be the time in history, in our time, of salvation. We pray, Lord, that you will bring them in. We pray that your call that goes out, a general call, that it will be effective, an effectual calling in those that belong to you, those that you have given to Jesus Christ. We pray for these people, Lord, because they are out there, and we pray that they would come in, that they would hear, that you would open their deaf ears, and that you would open their blind eyes, and you would turn their hearts, Lord, turn their hearts that they might receive Christ. Turn their hearts, Lord, that you might heal them and save them. You are our praise, and we thank you, Lord. And let them be rooted and grounded in your love and in your word, with your redemption and your peace and in truth and in wisdom, and truly transform lives. And let us be faithful. Grant us that we might persevere and that we might be faithful to have the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that we have that answer, that we are ready with the answer to forever anyone that asks about the hope that is within us, that we know the gospel and can share it with someone without always giving the answer away up front. And Lord, and listening and caring about the souls of people just as you do. And so, God, we give you the praise and the glory, and let the salvation of the elect be all to your praise, the praise of your glorious grace, or all to the praise of your glorious justice. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, if you would stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.